This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. It is a 7 o'clock hour of an incredibly happy day for everybody out there who's watching the Philadelphia Eagles go to 12-1 and do it without breaking a sweat. On a rainy day at the Meadowlands, it was a phenomenal performance by the Birds. And we are going to have a doctor out a little later in this segment. And Rhea Hughes has been studying the tape of the block punt and then the resulting run by Aaron Sipos down the sideline. Rhea's looking at it like the Zapruder tape.
Yes.
And she is convinced that Sipos did something bad to his leg because he caught it in the turf.
That turf is hated,
it's
by the
bad
way. I want
turf.
You to know.
So we will have an evaluation of that. And Lane Johnson was in the tent.
Yes.
With an abdominal issue. And if you would like to get nervous about something, you should possibly get nervous about that because the Eagles do not win when he's not in the lineup, and they almost always win when he is. He is an extraordinary player. Is he not, Barrett Brooks?
He's probably the number one or number two offensive lineman in the NFL right now. I think him and Trent Williams, both of them tit for tat, the best in the business.
And you watch that stuff. You don't even care about the ball. You just want big bodies crashing.
All I know is I watch those guys blocking, and all of a sudden I look at the second level, and the ball is going right behind them. So watch where Kelsey goes, the ball goes.
There you have it. All right, let me talk about the recipient of the benefits of that kind of blocking, and that is Miles Sanders, who had two. He is now over 1,000 yards for the year. And if you would study the tweets that I exchanged with Rhea during the game, our number one complaint, both in the game yesterday and in the season, is he doesn't run enough. He ran the ball yesterday 17 times, and he still managed to get, what was it,
144
yards on 17 carries. That is an average of 8.5 yards per carry.
Wow.
And they still, they gave the ball 17 times in a rainy day that they dominated the game. Wouldn't you want to use him more?
I was so nervous when Hurts was running late in the, like, third quarter. And I'm not going to lie. I just, because when I saw the Russell Wilson play, he took off and ran, got to like three and got smashed to the ground. I went, oh, God, no, please. That's
Just give this young man the ball. He finally got the 200 carries. This is the first time in his career he did that. And here are some of the great moments from a milestone day yesterday for Miles Sanders.
Hurts gives off to Sanders. He's got the first down and more. He's at the 20. He's at the 15. He is down to the 10. Miles Sanders that time.
Now back goes Hurts. He fires. He completes it. And running hard and picking up a first down is Miles Sanders.
And he gives it off to Sanders, who breaks a tackle. 20, 25, 30, 35. Close to the 40.
Yeah, that's the formula.
Hurts pitches out. Sanders has the first down and more. He's got 1,000 yards for the season, and he takes it almost to the 20. Handoff. Sanders. Sanders. Touchdown. Miles Sanders. Touchdown number 9 on the season.
Give that man the ball. Right, Rhea? Give him the ball. He had two touchdowns yesterday. Just give him the ball. Give him 20 carries a game. Take some of the burden away. Just to clear up with you, Barrett Brooks. He's with us today. Barrett. Linemen always prefer blocking for the run than the pass, right?
No question about that. When you're going forward, you're initiating contact. You're coming off hitting somebody in the mouth. When you're pass blocking, you're dropping back. It's not like you're being submissive because you get the point of the attack you're going to fight, but still you're going backwards. A guy that's going, if we line up head-to-head and we race in a 40-yard dash, usually the defensive end who are smaller are faster than us. Now we're asked to go backwards, and they're running forwards, and they're already faster than us.
Not as good.
It's not good at all. You don't like that feeling. But if you're coming off the ball hitting somebody in the mouth, you love it.
Run the ball!
Give them the rock.
We were yelling.
Run the ball!
They scored 48 points, and we were bitching.
Yes.
They won the game in the first quarter.
Yes.
And we still found things to harp on. You know why, Rhea? We're perfectionists.
Right.
Give that kid the ball.
Or idiots, you know, one or the other.
Well, I'm sure of the second one. The say what guy, Dave, is out of line. Hi, Dave.
The Eagles are 12-1. Say what?
There you have it. Now we got it. Dave, this is the year, man. This is the year.
You know, hey, let me say welcome to Barrett, because I followed them guys before and after each game, you know. But listen, they beat them like a drum, a marching drum. They beat them like that yesterday. Yep.
That's what I saw, Dave. We are in agreement on that. So what do you think?
I'm not surprised, because you have this recorded on your show. First of all, I said the team would be probably the best team in the Eagles' history. You have that recorded. Then I said they would go undefeated. I'm a little down on that because...
No, you were right. The only thing that prevented him from being 13-0 is a missed face mask call. That call was made, they're having a perfect season.
And also, if you remember last week recorded on your show, I said they're going to finish strong.
Right, do you think I'm recording all the things you're saying, Dave? Later I can show people how smart you are.
It's on tape.
No, I know it's on tape, but normally here at WIP, within a day or two, they burn all those tapes. Right? Because they don't want, just in case there's a lawsuit. Dave, are you happy?
Hey, listen, they're going to finish strong. I'm saying it again.
Yep.
And all the way to the Super Bowl, Ange. I don't see. Hey, remember this? Nick Sirianni. Knick-knack, paddy-whack, give a dog a bone, and watch the Eagles bring the Super Bowl home.
Oh, wait a minute. Are you saying Super Bowl?
That's right.
God bless you, Dave, the Say What guy. I got to play this because this was, Miles Sanders was talking about this, and they asked him, the questions in this piece, they asked him a couple of things and watched his perfect answer.
What means more to you, the yards or the touchdowns?
Super Bowl.
Man. Ask him about what matters more, yardage or touchdowns, and he said Super Bowl.
That's focus, my man.
Isn't that amazing?
It's I believe
that tells a story. Jalen Hurts.
That's Jalen Hurts. That's what I think. All right, let's find out what's going on with these injuries we sustained yesterday. Rhea, please introduce our doctor.
Dr. Lisa Kaplan, orthopedic surgeon with Orthopedic Surgery and Rehabilitation Associates, Rockledge and Abington. She specializes in rotator cuffs, meniscus, shoulder. Former college soccer player, team doctor for William Tennant High School. And you can get more info at osraorthopedics.com, our NovaCare segment.
Yes, Dr. Kaplan, welcome to our show. How you doing today?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Well, I'm a little nervous about Lane Johnson because whenever he's hurt, it's bad. And he was in the tent. It was later reported he had what appeared to be a minor abdominal issue, and it was in the lower abdomen, possibly the oblique. Doc, whenever I see oblique, I go, uh-oh, that could be serious. Tell us what the options are with an injury like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, I know afterwards he was, you know, downplaying it a little bit, saying, oh, you know, he could re-enter the game. You know, I'm not sure. He could. He might have been, might not. I think time will tell. I think, you know, the lower oblique area and that sort of abdominal area could be a few things. It could be an oblique strain, you know, something like a strain, you know, which is, you know, the outer area of the abdominal muscles. It could be a groin strain, could be a little bit lower. So I think they'll probably check for things even like a hernia, like an abdominal or an inguinal hernia. They may get an MRI to see, you know, see if they see any swelling or any contusion around the abdominal wall. And, you know, if they do, you know, it may pay to play it safe and keep him out for, you know, for the Bears game and maybe get him back to the Cowboys.
Dr. Kaplan's thinking.
She's saying save for a week.
Keep
now,
him out the Bears game. Bring him back to the Cowboys.
Doctor, you are not a coach, doctor. How dare you bench our best lineman?
I think the reality is if everything looks normal, if he gets checked out appropriately and he responds well to things like PT, you know, physical therapy, heat, ice, I think he might be back. I think it might just be minor, but I think we have to wait and see.
One other one. All right. this is worse than I thought, Johnson. Rhea sent video to the doctor.
Oh.
And, that she wanted her to reanalyze whether or not it was possible that Aaron Sippus, the punter, gets foot caught in the turf. Doc, based on what you saw, and he was carted off. We do not know his we have no idea what was going on. What did you see on that play, Doc?
Yeah, so that was a great video. That second one, I think it was on someone's Twitter account, but it you know, really did looks like his foot got caught in the turf, and it got twisted pretty forcefully. And, you know, the thing with these, and he had to stop walking off the field, you know, they had to bring him off the rest of the way. So the concern with these high velocity sort of torsional, what we call torsional injuries, is it really provides the ankle a pretty significant injury, but also then the force gets carried up the leg. And so my guess is he probably, and I saw him, you know, he was in a boot and had crutches, you know, on the sideline. So the concern is that he either has a high ankle sprain, maybe even a fracture, you know, and so I know.
So, you're done, right, Doc? Fracture is months, right?
Yeah, I mean, I would say at least weeks, you know. And so I think getting the appropriate imaging, you know, and the problem is, you know, he doesn't wear the same support probably around his ankles as a lot of other players do. And so these injuries can happen a little more frequently, you know, with the turf.
They got turf. They really do have a problem. I think they're removing that at the end of the year. Yeah. Dr. Kaplan, you and all the awesome NovaCare doctors, thank you so much for your expertise.
Thank you very much. I got to give a shout out to my Holy Redeemer Surgery Center folks who are listening.
Sounds great.
Right now.
Holy Redeemer, congratulations. Thank you, Doc. Let's go to Zachary in Allentown. Hi, Zach.
Hey, morning team. How you doing?
If we were any better, we'd be naked.
Sorry, what?
What?
What the hell are you
I'm
talking
out of
about?
Nowhere. This is the most fun I ever had while with my clothes on. It's kind of it's a playoff on that. Go ahead, Zach.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the crazy stat from yesterday with Miles Sanders and A.J. Brown both eclipsing 1,000 yards, the first time two of our players have reached 1,000 yards since 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Jeremy Maclin and LeSean McCoy, a receiver and a running back, both reaching 1,000 yards, that was the first time it's happened in quite a long time.
So, oh, you're right. Zach, let me stop for a second, Brad. I want to ask you about what happened with Brown, because Brown dropped a ball, perfect throw. Hey, perfect throw. Would have been a first down. He dropped. And there were words on the sideline.
Did you see the look that Hurts gave him?
No, Hurts does not tolerate failure, especially at a perfect throw. How do you do that without building resentment in your teammate by calling him out after a bad play?
It's just like, you know, your brother. You know, you beat up your brother. You know, he might beat you up. You might beat your brother up, but he's still your brother. You can go and tell a guy, hey, I need you to be great. My expectation of you is to be greater than what you just displayed. So that's the, you know, that's the mannerism those two have. They want greatness from each other. I mean, even from the first phone call when they found out the trade was going on to right there at that play, you could see the brotherhood those two display with each other.
All right, Barrett, when you play with McNabb, did he yell at you?
Well, I didn't play with McNabb.
You never did?
No.
Who'd you play with?
I played with Randall Cunningham, Rodney Pete.
Oh, wow. You go back further than I thought. Did they ever yell at you?
Yes, all the time.
Randall Cunningham, Rodney Pete yelled at you?
Oh, all the time, man. There's just little things he would do. He would, I wouldn't give up a sack, but at the end of a play, the defensive end would come tap him on the shoulder. He'd be like, hey, man, the reason he's doing that because he wants me to figure out, hey, I'm right there. I was right there. I was almost getting you. And he would say, that's why he's doing it. So this is the learning points and teaching points he gave me, because just that little tap on the quarterback let him know I was almost there. He's like, don't let him do that.
Well, I want you to understand. I would never yell at you, and I don't think he should have, because you got him by at least 100 pounds.
Right.
And you could have squashed him like a bug, all right?
That's Angela, would you like a complaint?
Oh.
I got a really good
yet.
No, no.
Not yet.
It's a good one.
I'll let Zachary finish. Zach, was there anything else you wanted to say this morning?
Yeah, I just want to say that the Cowboys are frauds, and there's no reason that ESPN should have them that high.
Da-da-da. Love it, Zach. Thank you for the call. Not yet, Johnson. You're chomping at the bit to get negative. I'm not ready yet. I'm getting closer.
It's about the four-letter network.
No, I know it is. And I know you got something juicy.
I do.
But just hold it yet. Don't get ahead of yourself.
All right.
215-592-9494. When I come back, it's time to talk about fathers and sons. Because Nick Sirianni did a whole thing about his dad and being emotional on the sideline. I thought it was cool. And what I got to ask him is, how's his family feel about 12-1? He can't say anything about it. You know he dodges it. But you don't think his father or his brothers, they're all coaches. You don't think they're going, Nick, give me some pointers. How are you doing this? You're in the NFL. We're not. How are you doing it? 215-592-9494. I got room for you, Joe. All right, 7:24, about 6 minutes, we'll be talking to head coach of the Eagles, the 12-1 Nick Sirianni. Ave is here with an update on our question of the day. Go ahead, Ave.
Brought to you by Armin Chevrolet. Looking to buy or lease a new Silverado? Armin Chevy is your Silverado truck headquarters. Find your roads at ArminChevy.com. ESPN sees the Cowboys as a bigger threat to make the Super Bowl than the Eagles. Do you agree? 92% say no.
What?
Yeah, I thought it should be even higher.
8%. All right, yeah. Fortunately, WIP, using the highest of high-tech equipment, is able to breathalyze everyone who actually bets. And at this point, eliminating the drunks, it is exactly 100%.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
all right.
The people that have voted
that sounds
yes
right.
on that, A, check yourself into a drug rehab center, or B, join AA. Thank you.
Got it.
Now, believe it or not, let me just set the scene. So the game is over, and Brandon Graham, 3 sacks, feeling it, tells ESPN to go bleep themselves. And then other Eagles are chiming in at ESPN for the idiotic comments made last week that somehow the Cowboys had a better chance to go to the Super Bowl than the Eagles did. Well, we have new information that John Johnson has just obtained to see if ESPN has found the error of their ways and corrected it. Johnson, would you please give us the latest?
Well, what ESPN uses as their chief analytic is Power Football Index. And it's, I don't know how what is involved. They don't even release this information, but it's the chief analytic they use when determining who is the best team in the NFL all the way down to the worst team. The number one team, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, the Dallas Cowboys.
They barely beat a 110-1 team yesterday. They barely beat them. I mean, barely.
Would you like me to keep going?
No, wait. Barrett.
The Chiefs.
Barrett Brooks is with us. Barrett, do you believe that garbage?
No, statistically, it just can't be right.
There's no
We're talking about numbers and analytics. There's no way that they could say the Dallas team is better than the Eagles team.
The number two team, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, their chief analytic, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Barely won.
I watched that game, okay? They were up, I think, 14-0. That Broncos team, which is terrible, put 28 points on them. And if Russell Wilson doesn't get his head slammed to the ground, they may have won that game.
No, they're it. Don't you say we're not third.
The Eagles are a distant number three.
All right, wow. That is unacceptable. Rhea, you have a job to do. I don't know how legal it is. Get me somebody from ESPN that we could scream at tomorrow. I would like anybody who is willing to take on our aunt.
Sure. Is that how she should text it to them?
That's exactly how I'm going to say it. I need somebody we can scream at.
It's the look for me, though. It's the look that she's giving me right now.
Rhea, I don't even care. It's typical. It's nothing unusual. Even if it's a former guy, a guy who used to work there, I don't care. If not, I'm just yelling at Al. Because Al, I believe today, yesterday, tomorrow is one of the days he's actually
he's
here.
He's in tomorrow, yeah.
And he used to work for them. I'll yell at him. This is outrageous. Let me go to LeVert next. See what he's got today. Hi, LeVert.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling lovely.
Yeah, ESPN is it. We're only third with a 12-1 record, LeVert. We're only with third. Do you believe this?
No, I don't. Listen, before I forget, Angelo, I know I bust your chops a lot on air. And I wanted to tell you that it's been great hanging out with you for all these years on the radio and listening to the show. Thank you for the dedication and all the years that you fought for the Eagles and Philadelphia fans.
Thank you. LeVert, I want you to know something. This is kind of weird to say. No one has ever said, I loved hanging out with you, when they actually physically did. Not one time. LeVert.
Well, I hung out with you at the 2004 Super Bowl in Jacksonville.
No,
and
that's,
you were great.
No, but I was not in Jacksonville. I am the best
that
hang.
Was an imposter, though.
I'm a good hang only when you're not actually with me present.
The only one who was in Jacksonville from the morning show was me.
Yeah, Rhea was.
Okay.
LeVert, you were not hanging with me because no one's ever hung with me and said at the end, man.
Well,
that was a good hang, man. That was a great hang. LeVert, what do you think? Are we getting some champagne this year?
We're going to get the chip. And I'd also like to say Barrett Brooks, my brother in Omega. Thank you for coming on the show.
Appreciate it. Omega Sci-Fi.
Oh, believe me when I tell you, he's only here because we're paying him handsomely. that laugh suggests otherwise.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, I want you to hear this before you bring out a coach, because the coach was talking about his father, and I was thinking about, see, Nick will never talk about 12-1, but maybe I get him to tell us what his father said, because he was talking yesterday about how emotional he is on the sideline and how so was his dad, or is his dad, when he's coaching football.
You know, there's a picture that I love of my dad yelling, I don't know who he's yelling at, but 1978, I think the picture was taken. He's going crazy and it being emotional. This is an emotional game. It's fun to be able to go out there and show your emotion and get excited when you need to get excited, get mad when you need to get mad, but then be able to move on and play the next play. So I've been blaming that on my dad. I think I've always been emotional. And in football, I think it's a little easier to be emotional because you got 40 seconds to the next play until you got Shane's calling the play. I can do what I need to do and then get myself back in the mode. Where I know I had a big time issue in basketball. If I turned it over, I'd be there. I'd had a hard time with that because the turnover is so quick.
It's funny. I think he was probably the most emotional yesterday on the drop kick, which was one of the weirdest punt plays I've ever seen. Right, the Giants punter drops the ball as he's getting ready to throw it down to his foot, and it bounces. And then as it came back up, he swung his foot at it, and he knocked it out 20, 25 yards downfield.
Right.
And then it looked legit to me. I know you can drop kick. You could actually get extra points and field goals with a drop kick. Isn't that a drop kick, Barry? You play football a long time. Was that a legitimate kick?
That was a drop kick, and if it had went through the uprights, it would have been
right
points towards it. Yes, I didn't quite understand the rule. That's why it took so long for them. I mean, I think they just made that up, actually.
Well, here's the thing. It seems to me like Nick had to remind that crew of what the actual rules were, because there was a long break, and then they gave it right. Now, I want to tell you right now, Nick Sirianni is brought to you by Bud Light. Join Evergrande at the Horse Tavern in Sellersville this Sunday. The Eagles are having a watch party. You can win Side Eagles merchandise and Bud Light swag. Ladies and gentlemen, 12-1, Eagles coach Nick Sirianni. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Angela.
Nick, I just played the cut of you talking about your dad and how emotional he was. I just got to know this, Nick. I know you don't want to talk about how great your record is. Your father, your brothers, they must be over the moon right now. Are they pleased?
Where do you think I got this, like, hey, move on to the next game? My dad texted me right after the game. He texted me right after the game, good job. On to the next one. He don't care. He knows that we got a job to do next week. So I was raised in this with this stuff. And so he tells me it was a good game, tells me what we screwed up, and then he says move on to the next one. It's a short week. It's a week that you got to get ready for. So that's where I get this stuff from.
Nick, I think I'm going to start giving your dad some credit for this.
As you should. As you should.
All right. You made the playoffs. You have clinched the playoffs now. And now I'm wondering, do you get to the point where you start to balance the health of your team versus the top seed? How do you feel once you make it there, Nick?
Yeah, I don't think we're there yet. I don't think that's in a conversation yet. It's on to Chicago. There'll be a time maybe to talk about that, and right now that's not the time. So we're only focused on this week. I've learned that in this league that you got to be where your feet are, focus on the week that you're at, and then handle decisions when cross the bridges when you come to them.
And I'll bet your dad told you that too, right, Nick?
That is a famous Fran Sirianni line. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
All right, one thing made me a little nervous, not much yesterday, but it was Lane Johnson was in the tent for a short time. Is he going to be all right, Nick?
You know, obviously we'll get all the tests back today, and we'll go through, he'll see the trainer this morning. We're hopeful and we're positive about it. Lane is a huge part of what's going on here, best tackle in the NFL, in my opinion. And we'll see what's happening, because we'll need him to do what we need to do this week against Chicago, but... like I said, I'll get more information today and have more information for everybody later this week.
All right, let's talk about the first drive, because it was It was a thing of beauty. It was amazing. It was like 15 plays. It took like 8 minutes. Nick, I know you script plays before a game. How much of that series, that whole sequence, was scripted?
Yeah, you go out with the plays that you want to start with, right? And you want to get a feel for some of the a way they're playing some personnel. You want to get a feel for how they're playing some formations. You want to get a feel for how they're playing AJ or Devontae or Jalen. And so you try to script some things into it. Now, so you script out the first, you know, the first 15, first 20. You script out your first couple third downs. You script out, you know, your first couple red zone plays and all those different things. And then, but naturally, you're going to have things too, like you're behind the sticks. What are you going to do when you're behind the sticks? What are you going to do when you, after you get a first down? So a lot of thought goes into that. Does it follow the first 15 to a T? Rarely, right? You're jumping around kind of your openers. Sometimes you think it's appropriate to take a shot. Sometimes you think it's appropriate to get. I mean, so it varies. And so I can't answer the question perfectly because it isn't a perfect science. You know, we go through there. We have our thoughts of what we want to start with, but things change throughout the drive. What was on complete display, though, was the execution, especially, you know, we got ourselves in third down a couple times, and then just great throws by Jalen, great, completely under control, great catch by Devontae on a third down at midfield. And then what I was really impressed with, that one play I really liked was just that check down to, you know, to Miles on one of the first passes of the game. I think it was the second pass of the game. He just checked it down to Miles, and then went for big yards. And defense gave him. We thought the defense was going to give us something. They didn't, and Jalen just made us right.
No, there was even a moment toward the end where they showed Jalen on the sideline, and AJ Brown, some of the other offensive players were happier. They were smiling, and he's still totally stoic. Has the offense taken on his personality to always look for the next play, always to stay focused on the overall goal? Are we seeing the whole unit play like he does?
Yeah, I think when your leaders show that, then the guys with the C's on their chest do those types of things, it's contagious. And, you know, Jalen's playing great football. He is completely focused on, you know, the next play always. And that's a great quality to have, because you don't get two up, you don't get two down, you just go to the next play. And when you do that, you can completely focus on what you can control. And now all you can control is that very next play.
Absolutely. And Miles Sanders, he went past 1,000 yards. He has done it with a little over 200 carries. And I'm just wondering, as you watch him evolve, Nick, what's making him even more effective this season?
I think it's just this whole game. Like, you don't just improve as a runner. You improve as a player. So he's improved as a runner. He's improved as a pass blocker. He's improved as ball security. He's improved his, you know, he take care of his body so well. His health is where we want it right now. And so he's improved himself. Like, he's improved his entire game, you know. So he's just in a great mindset, you know, of what he wants to go accomplish, what, you know, and how he wants to play. And he has fun every day coming in here and going through the grind with the guys to get ready to play on Sunday. And so I'm really happy for Miles and the way he's playing. Because he's playing at a top notch. I'm not sure, you know, there are many running backs in the NFL playing better than Miles Sanders right now.
Well, he's been sensational. Brandon Graham on the other side of the ball. Brandon Graham's 34 years old. We've seen him forever. He was here when Andy Reid was the coach. Mm-hmm. Three sacks and a forced fumble at 34. Not getting all that many snaps either. Nick, how's he doing this?
Man, you know, somebody said in our coaches meeting this week, Brandon Graham was made by God to rush the quarterback. That's what he was like, his body type, his energy, he was made by God to rush the quarterback. And then what's cool about Brandon Graham is he uses that platform that he has for good. I love that about him, right? And so people in this city love him. And then he uses his platform to help the community. And so, you know, he's an unbelievable football player, unbelievable human being, and so happy that he's our captain. And I mean, he's playing the way he is and leading the way he is, because that's how he was made, and he's made to do this, what he's doing out here on the field every Sunday.
That's a good answer. All right, I only got one other thing, and you were emotional at one point after we're calling it the drop kick, the missed punt. There was a very long delay, Nick, and you were in a conversation with the refs on the sideline. Did you remind them that that wasn't legal? Tell me what went on in that sequence.
Yeah, you know, Bob was preparing me for this question, and I don't remember being emotional on that one right there. I think, like my brother says now, like you get so emotional. My brother told me this last week. Jay, he said, you get so emotional on the sideline at times. People are waiting for it. It's like a show. Like, is he gonna lose his mind right here? He said, so calm yourself down. Anyway, I thought the referees did an outstanding job coming to that conclusion. I'll be honest with you. How would I know that rule? I wouldn't know that rule. So I was getting some information up on the box because our guys in the box know the rules, and they were just telling me what the rule was. So I could communicate with that with the refs, because how often, when's the last time that's happened in the NFL? And so I got great information from the box that was saying exactly what the refs were saying. And I was just making sure that they were on top of it. And they were, like, because I was only talking to the one guy on the side who was kind of came over to talk to me about what's going on. I thought they did a phenomenal job of ironing that out. You know, and I guess I thought they did a phenomenal job because we got the ball at the 33-yard line going in to score. But they did. They got the rule right, and that's something that doesn't pop up every time. And so hats off to them. They did a great job.
Well, Nick, here's what you need to know. At 12-1, you know what people assume? Sirianni knows the rules better than the ref. Now at least you cleared up what really happened there. And you weren't emotional. You were animated. I guess that's a better word.
There you go. Yeah.
Hey, Nick, congratulations. 12-1 is awesome. Thanks, Nick. Bye.
All right, y'all. Have a good day.
Nick Sirianni, 215-592-9494. Lots of your phone calls when we come back. We got so much more to do today. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome back. 747. I want to clear something up here because I know I wasn't completely off my rocker when I thought the coach knew more about that dropkick play than the refs did, because he just made it clear. He said, well, you think I would know that play, what the rule was? He didn't know it. But Howard Eskin reported it made it sound like he did. Here's Howard.
All right, Merrill. You know, either way, the ball's got to come back to the line of scrimmage on that situation. Fumble or dropkick, I don't know if it's a turnover. I'm just shocked the officials were so confused, and Nick Sirianni made a point to immediately go to him and let them know that. Back to you.
All right, Hot Rhea, I think we need an Eskin amount, too. And here's why.
Jeez, okay.
Because Eskin here, if I'm not giving the credit to Sirianni, then I have to give the credit to Eskin?
Well, there's two things here that you have to think about, okay? Yeah. Nick doesn't want to act like he was telling the officials, because that would get back to them.
That's very true.
And probably make them look bad. And have you ever worked the sidelines?
Oh, God, yeah.
No,
so
never.
Many
you
times.
Never have.
I've never been on the sidelines.
I've worked the sidelines. Well, Barrett's been on the sidelines. It's chaotic there. And you hear a lot of stuff, and you see a lot of stuff. So, you know, I'm not going to kill Eskin for it.
Well, Barrett, how many years did you play in the
I played 12. I played 12
years. Do you know the role on something like that?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Fair enough. I don't know. All right. Wait a minute.
I still don't know it, though.
Hold on. Now I'm getting word that Joe Ector, our producer, knows where Howard got it from. Let's hear
it. Why not? Alshon Jeffrey.
No. Alshon Jeffrey gave him that?
Very nice.
Alshon's still helping Howard with the private revelation. Jeff is up from Camden. Hi, Jeff. Jeff, are you there? Jeff, this has happened a couple of times with Jeff. He's not there. He bailed. He was going to say something negative, but he didn't hang because he realized it would be ridiculous to say that today. Let's go to Ken. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, Angelo.
How you feeling, Ken?
I'm feeling awesome. You, between you and the morning team and the Philadelphia Eagles, you make our lives great. I just want to let you know we're going to miss you.
All right. I would like to make a clear statement on that. What we did here to have this show today is zero. All we are doing is reacting to a brilliant performance by our football team. We are the recipients of goodwill based on what they did. If they lost, we'd be getting killed today. Ken, this season is the greatest football season by an Eagles team I have witnessed in 33 years here. This is spectacular. And I guess.
Unbelievable.
I left him speechless. I left him speechless. All I could say is, honestly, I never thought, Rhea, I never thought they'd ever have a year like this.
We thought, but, you know, it's funny. I remember going back. A lot of people thought, 10 wins, 11. Like, nobody really had, I mean, you picked the over very early on. But nobody thought, nobody thought this.
No. No one could have. No. But I had to be reminded today by John Johnson that they were 12-1 in 04. Yeah. And I don't even remember that season to that extent. And I know this. This I can tell you. And this does not just apply to me. It applies to this city. They were not as likable as this team. No way. Mm. There was not a Kelce on that team. There was not. McNabb was the quarterback. At best, people were ambivalent. Right? He was a wackadoo. Come on.
Runyon? You loved Runyon?
I love Runyon.
Yeah,
I loved Runyon.
Brian Westbrook?
Brian Westbrook was enjoyable.
T.O. battled back from a broken leg after just 6 weeks and would have been MVP if they had managed to win that game.
Johnson,
what's
the matter? Who's your favorite all-time Eagles quarterback?
It would be Randall. But I'll tell you right now, Jalen Hurts is inching very close
He's
to him
close
very
now.
Quickly.
This is in his third year.
Yeah.
In two or three more years, it's not even a choice.
It's not just what he's doing on the field and what may be the greatest season we've ever seen from an Eagles quarterback. It's what he says after the game.
Exactly. He's checking every box every week. You played with Randall, right, Pat Brooks?
I absolutely did.
Who do you like more, Randall or Jalen?
You know what? I got to go with Jalen. You know, even though I played with Randall, and at that time in his career, he already knew it all. So when we did have, officer the coordinator came in. They never studied. They never saw eye to eye. They just didn't mix. But you have a guy like Jalen Hurts, it's cause and effect. He believes wholeheartedly in cause and effect. He believes if he goes out and works his ass off, that he's going to get the effect of being a great player. So when you have that type of thinking and it's spewing out to the other players, they're thinking the same thing. Right. So cause and effect. They're getting better.
You don't understand what just happened. You picked. I got two guys I work with that did not play with either Randall
or any of these guys.
Johnson and Rhea. They love Randall to death.
Yes.
And you who play with him is going, I got to be honest, I like the Hurts better. Yes. And you're by the way, you're correct. They're incorrect. You're incorrect.
I played in Kelly Green and Gray last year.
Oh, God, I love Kelly Green. No, but Angela, the point is, you always loved the players you watched when you were a kid growing up. You got to get over it, Rhea. I'm sorry, Mr. I Love Will
Chamberlain. Get over it? All right, you got one mulligan.
All right, so mine is Randall.
All right, fine, mine is Will.
Okay, I won that one again.
And yes, when you are prepared, because you look like you're losing a little bit of energy.
I'm not losing any energy, you jackass. I have a
new stat that ESPN has just put out.
Another stat?
Super Bowl win percentage. Updated.
Go ahead.
You want to know it?
No. But go ahead.
The team right now on this Monday morning who has the best chance to win the Super Bowl in the NFL is the Dallas Cowboys.
That just happened.
The team with the second best odds to win the Super Bowl in the NFL is the Kansas City Chiefs.
And the Eagles are third. I want to hit somebody. Rhea, get me somebody in studio from ESPN tomorrow. I want to punch them.
I'm not going to waste my time on asking for that because that's not going to happen.
Rhea, it has to be somebody I can take. Ken is up next. Kenny, good morning.
Hey, Angelo. Sorry, my call dropped. But I read the New York Times wrap on Sunday's game.
Yeah.
And so it had three features: the Kansas City, the Jaguars, and the Cowboys. So they each got long, descriptions. They mentioned the Super Bowl in the Cowboys article. When they got to the Eagles Giants game, the summary way down the page, four lines, nothing. Barely any mention whatsoever. And the Cowboys, they had like six paragraphs about the Cowboys. And the Eagles Giants, this is the New York Times this morning, barely, four lines, just a casual mention.
Wow. Ken, let's do this together. All right? We're all going to sing to everybody in your car. Sing this too. Johnson, you join in.
All right.
Brooks, reuse. They don't like us. They don't like us. They don't like us. We don't care. They don't like us. They don't like us. They don't like us. Kiss my ass.
It's no one likes.
That's not part of the song. You were way off on the lyrics.
I changed the lyrics for the moment. 215-592.
And we do care.
94. Oh, we do care. But you know what, Rhea? I like to present myself as not caring, but
yes,
I do.
Yes, but we do.
When we come back, yes, it is time to finally offer a sliver of criticism. There was one sequence in the game late in the second quarter that was bad, and we will finally, after two full hours, begin the bitching. That's next. WIP Sports Time coming up on 750.